Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Ace Man? Senior Rainbow calling out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Just got a hypothetical for you real quick. You're gay, and you're at Mr. Fist's, and you get approached at the same time by Elon Musk and the Dyson guy. Both of them want you to blow them in the bathroom. Which guy do you blow first? I'm not limiting you to only blowing one of them, but you got to make a decision on who's first up to the plate. And I know you have an affinity for both of these gentlemen, so I'll take my answer off the air. Love the show, gang. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Ooh, the Dyson guy is obsessed with suction.
That's true.
And I feel like he would judge.
He'd be judging.
Yeah, he'd be high. Like, you got about 21 PSI going, but if you tighten, you pursed your lips a little more, you could really get a vortex of suck going on in my cock. So
too self-conscious.
I don't want to, like, who wants to go out to dinner with Vinny Tortorich? You know what I mean? Like, one breadstick and he's staring at you. You know what I mean? I don't want to be judged. Yeah. I would blow Elon.
On the other hand, if you hit them both, maybe you could get some tips from Mr. Dyson and then perform very well on Mr. Musk. You know?
Oh, interesting. Mm. But I don't know if the Dyson guy would get jealous. Like, hey, I'm planning on blowing this other gent. Mm-hmm. Could you give me a few suck-off tips? Like, I don't know how that would go over.
Yeah,
like,
that's not really how it's done.
Like, Kalen, if you came up to me and you're like, hey, man, I'm going to give Dawson the best blowjob ever. What do you know? I'd be like, well, what am I, chopped liver over here? What about me and my dick?
Yeah.
You know?
It's fair.
It's
fair, and I'm not even gay.
I'm just sensitive.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were.
I'm super gay. Which, in this scenario, I guess I am. I want to thank LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and enter Adam and Castrol Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. And Geico, Geico.com as well. Zach Gowen is here. Good to see you, man.
So nice to see you guys. Thank you. Very, I don't know how we're going to follow that up, but
we're
thank
not.
You.
I've got a book called High Risk Maneuvers, How I Turn My Handicaps into Opportunities. I love it. We have a clip of you on American Ninja Warrior, I believe, which is one of those
best show ever
shows where you watch it and you go, I have a complete appreciation for it because I have a horrible grip. And you want to remember I told you guys when people go, you know, super action movie, like superhero action, whatever, just big action, Stallone, whatever. And they go, what's the number one trait? People go, I don't know, it's biceps or it's punching power or whatever. It's grip. The craziest thing in the world is grip. It's always grip. And I'm thinking about The Rock's new movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, find the poster for High Rise.
It's all grip. It's like the fakest thing about the whole thing or the hardest thing is the grip. It's not the lifting of the weight
it's
or
the fingertips.
The jumping of the cars or the punching the guys out or the crazy ninja karate fights or anything. It's the grip.
Yeah.
That's the craziest part. They in every one of them, by the way, it's all there's not a one that doesn't have grip. There's not a one that doesn't have them diving from a moving car and grabbing a seagull by the leg and like being carried off without you just slip off immediately. So I want to watch you. And then when I see American Ninja Warrior, I'm always like, the grip. I could never do the grip. Let's
We don't have to see
skyscraper.
The bus.
Oh, skyscraper. I thought it was high-rise. Right.
Well, yeah. What's interesting
about missing leg.
He has one leg. The Rock has one leg.
That's right.
They actually emailed me to see if I would be a stunt person, because I've done stunts in movies before. And they were looking for an amputee stunt guy in The Rock's next movie, and I had no idea what it was.
They wanted you to know if you knew anybody.
Exactly. That's what it was. Well, we went back and forth, and I found out they were looking for The Rock's stunt double. They're looking for The Rock's amputee stunt double, and I'm like, you obviously have no idea what I look like. There's no way I could pull this off.
Maybe that dude from Battleship.
Didn't say.
Battleship has a famous amputee dude. I think we can figure that guy out. Anyway, let's watch.
Gary Sinise?
It's American Ninja Warrior.
Had amputees run the course before, but no one quite like Zach Gallen. And now just going to take off
he took the prosthetic leg off.
I'm the first one to run the course without a prosthetic leg.
Huge victory. Boy, you can do it.
Oh, my God.
No,
that's not right.
One leg.
Talk about posties.
Oh, my God. I'm so ashamed.
Unreal.
That's why I'm here.
You're the worst guest.
This is insane.
I've seen this one before. Well, cancer took his leg, but it can't take his heart, though. Cancer can't take his heart or his will. Unbelievable effort.
Wait, line.
It can take your heart eventually.
That's a gap between each of those steps.
Coronary.
And your will goes well.
Zach is just dominating, but God.
Oh, here's the grip. Here comes the grip.
Yeah.
But you do have
swinging
a weight advantage.
A challenge right
Look
here.
At this grip.
More grip Zach. Swinging around. Oh, no.
Like a bowling pin.
All right. He's just, it's unbelievable. He just got ran over by a rolling pin. All right. You can pause. All right. So.
Oh, my God.
I hate myself.
I've chilled.
Thank you. What the?
Oh, yeah. That guy could do
What's the story? Who is that guy in Battleship? And is that guy really missing legs? And do you know this guy, Zach?
No. That's not a movie. That's a film.
That's
obviously,
right.
Battleship. It should be in the Hall of Fame somewhere, but I don't know the guy.
AFI Top 100.
I talked to Pete Berg the day he was writing Battleship. I called him about something. I can't remember what. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I can't hear you very well. I'm on a boat. I'm like, doing what? Writing Battleship. And I was like, Battleship? The movie, the game? And he's like, just Battleship, the game, the movie. You know, and I'm like, why do you need to be on a boat? I guess he needed to go there. And then the second thing is I still to this day am not really clear why it had to do with the game, because they're about aliens.
Yeah, but at least I think it did.
Anytime Rihanna can act, I'm in. So anyway.
The actor Gregory Gadsden is a double amputee.
Do you not know Gregory Gadsden?
Why do you think we all know each other? That's the question.
You should. I mean,
support group.
The Rock producers found you.
Yeah, they did.
So there he is.
Maybe they got him for the Rock's movie.
Yeah. Well, he's bald and he's black and he could. He's missing two. I don't know if that's better. So how'd you lose your leg? What's your motivational story, Zach?
Sure. Well, I lost my leg to cancer when I was 8 years old. I got diagnosed with osteosarcoma, and over the course of 7, 8, 9 months, it went undiagnosed, and it was treated as a regular broken leg or a bacterial infection, and it wouldn't get better. In fact, the pain kept getting worse and worse and worse. We couldn't figure out what was going on, so the doctors did a biopsy, and the results came back, and they were conclusive. The reason why I broke my leg in the first place, the reason why it never healed, was because of a tumor growing on my left femur right above my left knee. And because the diagnosis came so late in the game, the fear was it was going to spread to the rest of my body.
Next question was, why the amputate?
Exactly.
Is it the kind of thing where that was the treatment then, and now maybe they could do something else? Or to this day, would a kid with that have to amputate?
It really depends on when they get diagnosed. Mm-hmm. Even back then, all the other kids at Children's Hospital in Detroit that had the same cancer I did, they were given limb salvages, meaning they went in and cut out the tumor and replaced with a rod, but they were able to keep their leg. The doctor sat my mom down and said, listen, to give Zach his best chance at seeing his 9th birthday, we recommend total, full, and complete amputation. So my mom had to make that decision.
Oh, God.
You know, so I say, even though I lost my leg to the battle of cancer at 8 years old, I won the war of life, because it's been 26 years. I'm here at the Adam Carolla Show hanging out with you guys, you know, so it's really.
You should aim higher. Is what you're
going to do. let's see. I'll try to backfill this one here if I'm working out. Jay Leno. Has a guy, his head mechanic's named Bernard, this crazy guy from like
Finland or something. Bernard races a three-wheel motorcycle. You have to have a monkey and a side hack for that. Kowski is the last name of the guy who races with Bernard now in the present. It's a crazy story. His older brother is Greg Kowski, who was in my grade, North Hollywood High, in the 10th grade, played on the B football team and stuff, broke his leg on the B football team. Then we went into summer, and it's like, did you hear about Greg Kowski? I'd have his leg amputated. And it was like, what? What happened to his leg? Like, it broke it, but then they found something. He was dead in 4 months, and he was 16. So it he got the amputation and the and the death. So it can travel fast. So, and I get why they want better look at all you've achieved without your leg. Mm-hmm. And here's a question. I truly believe that people that have something to get over, this is why good-looking people are so lazy. This is why we're lazy. Yeah. Which is, let me finish. All the guys I know who are killer athletes and look great with their shirt off in high school are lazy shits. And everyone else that was overcompensating, little spindly Jewish guys with the balding kicking in the 10th grade, those guys are conquering the world. So I think there's something to it.
Sometimes less is more.
David, wow. But here's the question. Do you think that this motivated you?
100%, because I truly believe that show me a man who can or a woman who can respond to adversity well, and I'll show you a successful person. Like the tools that we develop in responding to it. I've been blessed with a lot of adversity throughout my life, but I've also been given guidance and given tools on how to overcome. Now, I take that. It's a whole process. You take that process of overcoming a certain specific obstacle, and then it applies to every other aspect of your life.
Go ahead. In the prosthetic world, see things doing, guys are doing amazing things. They're shooting their girlfriends. They're climbing mountains.
It's unbelievable.
It's a whole new world.
All doors are open.
We forget about him. But,
Blade Runner.
Yeah, but.
Do you know him?
What's he like?
Did Pastore?
Yeah, Oscar Pistorius.
You're not very old, but the prosthetic you got initially,
right?
First generation, but the one you're wearing now, is it much more advanced?
So much more advanced. In fact, I just picked this up in February in Orlando.
He's holding his dick.
I did. Yeah. Very much. Glad you could see that.
Yeah.
It is a computer chip in it. It's
Whoa.
Programmable. Hopefully the Russians don't hack me.
I told
my wife.
It's programmable.
I told my movements. It's very specific to, so it knows how fast I'm walking back and forth, side to side.
How you like to dance.
Exactly.
So
I'm only free when I'm dancing.
It's got Shazam built in. It knows what song's playing.
Exactly.
Well, wait a second. All right, sorry. In the past, if someone had a prosthetic leg and they were wearing pants and shoes and socks, you could still tell by their walk.
100%.
Cannot tell by your walk with this?
No, you can tell by my walk because my amputation is so high and my body is still adjusting to the new prosthetic. But maybe if you see me in a year or two, my walk is going to be a lot better the stronger that my body gets to keep up with the technology that I have in my leg.
So the technology, I assumed it was all about materials and carbon fiber and stuff, but I didn't know it was about actual technology, things, chips and power. What moves, what's the power source? Is it rechargeable? How does it work?
Yeah, I have to plug in my leg every night when I go to bed, just like you plug in your phone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it physically do?
It responds to my movements. So it intuitively knows how fast I'm walking, if I'm going side to side, if I'm walking backwards. The purpose of that is so my body uses less energy to move it. If it keeps up with me and intuitively knows what I'm doing, then my body doesn't have to compensate as much. So I'm going to have more energy throughout the day. Quality of my life's going to be bigger and better.
You're not moving it, ideally. It's moving with you.
With me.
Anticipation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the difference between the prosthetic that I had since I was 8 years old and the one that I have now.
Where does this thing come from?
It came from Orlando.
It's got a by way of Stuttgart.
You know, like, Germany, Japan,
Orlando.
I gotta
find a smart place. Orlando's not a smart place.
I don't think it developed in Orlando, no. I'm not sure where the chip came from, or the technology came from, but they're the ones that utilize it the best.
Let's open it up.
Wow. I love it. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I have lots of questions. One,
go ahead.
What is the biggest limitation of the prosthetic? It sounds amazing, but is there one thing it can't do that you wish it could do? Is there one thing that it doesn't do well? Like, no, I'm not saying to criticize it, but like, oh yeah, it'd be great if I could do this, but that's just part of the game.
No, this leg does everything. I call this leg my yoga leg. I'm the first one-legged DDP yoga instructor.
Wow.
And I run 5-6 classes a week back in Detroit, and I can actually put weight on a bent knee for the first time in my life, so I can...
Because you're above the knee, obviously,
above
right?
the knee, yeah. Right up by the hip. So I can hold all of these insane yoga poses, wow. balancing on the prosthetic leg, which I can't even feel, because now I can put weight on a bent knee. It's the first time I've ever been able to do that. It's really exciting for me.
Do you still go in for cancer screenings? Because you had cancer, obviously.
I had cancer, and for me, and I know a little bit about your story too, Brian. For me, I was screened every 2 weeks, and then it was every month, and
they,
3 months.
They taper it off the longer you go.
It's been probably close to 10, 12 years since I've been screened.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I love this story. And, God, you see what's going on in the prosthetic department. It is unbelievable. Back in the day, I remember, I'm old enough to remember the weird hooky hand thing.
Sure, a wooden leg. You know, I never had that. Plastic leg.
Yeah,
it freaked everyone out.
Yeah.
Especially if you saw the movie Fugitive.
And very
Fugitive? What's
the Harrison
Ford?
Fugitive, yeah.
The Fugitive.
The one-armed man.
That's right.
And very 80s, our good friend, his brother, that happened to him, both arms because, remember the 80s PSA, he climbed a utility
power.
Pole.
Power line. Both arms means electrocuted.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but flesh tone, it's always bad. It's always just creepy to me. It's weird. I'd rather have some cool carbon fiber with a nice high gloss on it than flat. The replicating, only flesh works as flesh tone.
What?
Trying to get near flesh tone creeps everyone out.
Either have one leg or don't.
One thing I just occurred to me, you obviously, they have to make your prosthetic foot the same size as your other foot so you can buy a pair of shoes.
It's a little bit smaller so I can put...
Oh, you can pad
it up a little
or something
bit easier.
Like that. Okay, mm-hmm.
Make
sense.
It a little smaller.
A little smaller, yeah.
And you didn't grow up with a dad in the house, right?
No father.
This had to be really hard on your mom going through all of this.
I can't imagine what my mom went through. My father, when I was 4 years old, made a decision. He decided that drugs and alcohol were going to be more important in his life than being in his son's life and his wife's life.
See, I just did alcohol.
Yeah.
But too lazy to even do, too.
And it was before the kids were born.
Smart. You're smart. My dad isn't. That's why.
Yeah, just stop at alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So your dad, now, did you ever reunite? Is he may not be alive. I don't know.
He's still alive, and he's still living out in the pain.
Really?
From what we understand. Yeah, he called my mom maybe 3 or 4 months ago to get my mom to drop these child support charges. I mean, this is 30 years later, you know, and he was drunk, you know, professing his love for her and all this kind of stuff. And it was just sad. You know, I used to have a lot of anger towards my father, and that was a big source of hurt for me. But now I empathize with him, and I look at him as a sick person, and I hope that he gets better.
I think you can do both. I like to think I can multitask.
Don't make Adam change course.
Dad, I hate you, and I feel sorry for it. How about that?
Careful with that healthy outlook on life. You know,
look at me as a Swiss Army knife of feelings.
I got the screwdriver for a certain time.
Nail file.
All right, I'll tell you about the toothpick is lost. I'll tell you about the LifeLock. Wishing someone a happy birthday on social media seems innocent enough, but criminals can piece together that info and hack the accounts. Once they do, they can snatch sensitive data like payment info, and you just don't. It's 2018. You gotta take care of yourself. So many threats out there in the digital world today. Good thing new LifeLock identity theft protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your identity. I've said it 1,000 times. The cleanest, easiest, fastest way to make money. That's what the criminals will do. They used to steal your TV set and your car stereo, and now they'll steal your identity. They'll do it online, and they won't even be in this country or near your neighborhood. If you've got a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't. You'll have the best. You'll have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Knowing and stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 10% off.
All right. I think what we should do is take a quickie break, come back, do the news, and Zach will hang out and motivate.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Spromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at AdamCarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Can I weigh in for just a second here?
Please.
I've been hearing this a lot lately. I just want to correct it a little bit. It's along with my, I like accuracy and a clarity, you know, and they go that that thing with buzz driving is drunk driving, and my thing that makes sober driving buzz driving. Mm-hmm. Been hearing a lot. I was listening, I think, Mira Sorvino, and she was talking about we're living essentially in pre-Nazi Germany, and I thought, well, pre-Nazi Germany's fine. That's just
everybody was happy.
Sound of Music, Autobahn, People's Car. That's pre-Nazi. I like to say, make the point we're living in Nazi Germany, because pre-Nazi Germany is just whatever happened before Nazi Germany, which was probably not a bad hang.
Strudel, Lederhosen.
Your grasp of history is airtight. You're the grip
pre-Nazi.
You have.
Well, listen, 1822 is pre-Nazi in Germany. Pull up a Stein and have a cold one. Listen to some classical music. That's all I'm saying. Enjoy Precision Timepiece. Well, you know what I mean? That's pre-Nazi Germany. I don't know. It's like pre-AIDS, mid-Coke, you know? It's go right to Nazi Germany. Everyone's talking about this pre-Nazi Germany. All right. But everything before Nazi Germany is pre-Nazi Germany. Germany's been around for a long time. Yeah. It's all pre. Okay. Just looking for some clarity. Well, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you for shining a light on that.
It's important.
Finally.
It's important that somebody needs to yell, well, what year? Because if it's like 1911, no, fine. Everyone's
into the late 1920s,
maybe. We got a cool Kaiser. He's a knock-around guy. He's the kind of guy you want to have a schnitzel with. I want to know, because Germany, minus the Nazi, pre-Nazi, if you gave me some places I could hang, I could probably hang there in the 20s, you know?
Good point.
Having lots of good art, music around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that.
Architecture.
Sure.
Sure. It's heaven.
Factories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, TMZ and ET Online report that Joe Jackson has died at the age of 89. A Jackson family source told ET...
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Right? That he was in a Vegas hospital with terminal cancer. According to the source, Jackson has been battling the illness for a while now. Doctors recently told the family to kind of come in and settle their affairs with him. Joe was the father of course, late music legend Michael Jackson, who died on June 25th, 2009.
Kaylin, you got to look it up, but his quote was like,
"Yeah,
he's seen more sunsets."
Yeah, this is in the article that
I was confused by it.
Yeah,
it's kind of a pre-Nazi Germany for me. Like, wait, you've seen more? Everyone in their 80s has seen more sunsets than they're going to see,
right?
Unless you've lived 160, then.
Right?
The exact quote is, "I have seen more sunsets than I have left to see."
Yeah, poetic.
It adds up. It checks out.
I mean, the math is good.
Yeah.
Right.
How old was he when he said that?
He's 89.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Even if he made it to 110, he couldn't match the amount of sunsets unless he's staying up.
Yeah. It's possible.
I'd say, getting up early. Everyone can start saying that pretty much by
sunsets.
50.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's over under. Yeah. So you just take the median age, like 78, cut it in half.
Yeah.
I got, 39?
Halfway there.
And there you go.
Can you name all the Jackson kids? Because there was 10 of them.
There was.
Did they all perform?
No.
LaToya and Janet and Tito and Marlon and John Cameron Swayze and
Randy
Michael and Randy and
Your Majesty.
There's Rebby and Giovanni and Jermaine and Brandon. I don't know, Brandon.
Brandon.
Yeah, there's Brandon. So Joe,
Brandon Jackson, DDS.
Famous talent manager, best known, of course, for managing the kids' musical group. And a lot of controversy around his ways of managing and training the kids. I have a clip of Michael talking about the beatings from his father in the 2003 interview.
I was listening to like some comedy radio the other day, and like Eddie Murphy was doing a bit from like the 80s. Maybe the 80s, probably no, 80s. Probably. And he's like, you ever punch a woman? They don't take it well. You can't. And he's like, and he's, of course he's doing the comedy like version, but he's like, man, I slapped my woman. I punched my woman the other day. And she was like, Eddie. And it's like, he's just doing a comedy routine about punching out his girl.
Okay.
And it wasn't that long ago that people were like, holding microphones going like I punched my woman and she was like this and
hilarious.
It's pretty weird. It wasn't from the 30s. It was like from the mid 80s or something.
Yeah, we got progressive pretty fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Days of yore.
Yeah.
So in case we're not clear if Joe hurt the children or not, Michael would like to weigh in on that.
Can I say this? It's time for Whitey to institute the whooping. Because we either have the parents beat us or the parents didn't lay a hand on us. Everyone's got spanking. But the whooping is some weird gray zone of, well, you deserved it, but that wasn't really child abuse, but
we
I laughed when I said whooping. And it's kind of weird to do to a black kid anyway. Mm-hmm. It's a weird choice of words. Yeah. We got a whooping and then you deserved it. And now it's funny and we're moving on.
There's a 2x4 involved sometimes.
Yeah.
I like the part where you pick out your own switch, which always seems to be the story.
Psychological trouble.
Oh, God.
That was only a couple of years ago.
I was literally yelling at my son the other day, like, you're lucky I'm not Adrian Peterson. I was like, well, but you'd be a good ball player. All right, sorry.
This is what Michael had to say about it.
When you would be practicing, you were very heavily disciplined by your father. What was that like?
Look at my face. Well, what do you think?
I didn't have it that hard because he used me as the example. It was like, do it like Michael, you know. And he practiced us with a belt in his hand, and if you miss a step,
practiced us,
expect to be
just let me go back. You just said that you would practice the dance steps and your father would be holding a belt in his hand. Is that what you just said?
Yes. And he would tear you up if you missed. And so we, not only were we practicing, we were nervous rehearsing. Because he sat in the chair, and he had this bell in his hand. And if you didn't do it the right way, he would tear you up.
I don't know how well known it is, but he would constantly make fun of Michael especially, and Janet, and all the kids for their big wide nose. You got a big wide nose, and this coincidence that they ended up looking like they did. Like, he poisoned those kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was still tortured. Really? You could tell by that interview.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's insane once you have kids to think about laying your hands on them that way. All these things sound insane. The sexual stuff is like, well, that's different planet kind of stuff. And the beating on just seems insane. And also the verbal criticism and everything is like.
Right. I know another interview, or maybe it was this one, they were talking about, you know, just a normal day not being abused was taking a giant pile of bricks and moving them from one side of the yard to the other just to build up character.
Well, that I like.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's good.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
But then they have to go back to the other side.
That's Jerry Rice shit right there.
Right. That's how you get to be number one.
I'm soft hands. Oh, do we have Eddie Murphy talking about punching his girlfriend? What year is this from?
From Delirious.
Delirious.
Girlfriend, once I smacked her and got all cool on and shit. And then she got cool and it scared me.
That's where it starts.
More and shit. Girlfriend, once I smacked her and got all cool on and shit. And then she got cool and it scared me more and shit. I just left. But I slapped and got macho and said, I didn't want to do that shit, baby. But you bought that shit on yourself. Don't make me have to do it again. He said, no, no, I did bring it on myself. I did. Why don't you just go to sleep?
The beginning part is like, you know, he's like, the setup's like, you don't want to have to smack these bitches, but, you know, you gotta, you know, you do it. And then he rolls into like, and I smack my girl, you know, and she said, it's like, it's kind of a weird comedy bit.
Levity. Everybody's loving it, too.
Yeah.
Did you like, was that voice ever super funny when he'd go into that voice?
I don't know. I always, yeah, it was all right. It doesn't hold up that well, yeah. But the outfits do.
Yeah, that's for sure. Red leather, baby.
1983, sorry.
All right. The year. Well, Terry Crews testified before the Senate Tuesday about an alleged sexual assault by a Hollywood agent.
I am a person who thinks I know everything all the time, and I am dying to get to the bottom of the Terry Crews thing. He's at a party. Mm-hmm. It's a populated party. He's with his wife. An agent comes up to this hulking big black man with muscles everywhere, grabs him by the groin in front of his wife. All I could think of is this guy was drunk and it was a joke. And he was like, said to the guy next to him, like, yeah, watch this, like, or whatever.
He grabbed the wrong dude because Terry's going the distance with this.
And didn't Terry kind of take it as kind of a drunken something? And then I thought, well, the only way this could be this, if I'm picturing, that's Phil over there. Picturing
much better than Drew in the mug.
What I'm picturing. Well, if I don't let him in, he'll start pawing at the door.
Now he wants out now.
Now he wants out. All right. It's the only thing I can think of with my Loveline experience is that if Terry Crews had been abused sexually at some point and this had busted it open for him.
He does speak
He was
little...
talking about being a sex addict at some point, which also from my Loveline training suggests that something happened along the way.
He does, not in the clip that I pulled, but he does talk about, not sexually, he doesn't mention that, but he said he watched as a child his father constantly beating his mother, and he wanted to grow up to be strong to defend his mother, so I don't know if there was something in there he wasn't saying about sexual abuse.
Well, at least we know drunken, abusive dad is the guy he grew up with.
Correct. So he accused Adam Bennett of groping him in 2016, said the producer of the Expendables 4 asked him to drop his civil suit against the agent if he ever wanted to do an action flick again. And Terry was referring to producer Avi Lerner, who was sued for sexual harassment, hostile work environment, and gender discrimination. So here's a clip of Crews testifying.
Hold on, gender discrimination?
Yeah. Who knows? This is a separate issue. This separate was the guy issue. That was kind of leaning on him. This is him at the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights, which provides a new rights for victims of sexual violence in the federal criminal code. And Terry was one of four people invited to speak.
I'm going back to me being right. This feels a weird invite for a guy who got his nuts grabbed at a Hollywood party 2 years ago when he was 44.
It's very likely there's some history.
It feels like there's some history here. I don't know who knew what. I like the guy a lot. He did take a knee. It was incredibly motivational, speaking of motivational. But all right, let's.
Here's a clip from the hearing.
2016, while at a party with my wife, I was sexually assaulted by a successful Hollywood agent. The assault lasted only minutes. But what he was effectively telling me while he held my genitals in his hand was that he held the power.
Minutes?
Someone could...
I'm guessing it was repeated. You know, he didn't probably hold him for 2 minutes. That would be nice.
I was at a party with his wife. I need more clarity. Yeah. I'm all right with the... I get the part, something's going on. But I want to know what the physical assault actually was, because it seems insane to me.
Genitals were grabbed.
Well, and I did find it interesting.
What I'm trying to wrap my mind around is, did you guys like go to the bathroom, and as you were leaving the bathroom, he came walking into the bathroom? Or it seems like a weird one to do while everyone's in the living room, standing next to the Steinway.
Unless you're the producer who thinks he's hilarious and is drunk.
Watch this.
Yeah, exactly. It's making some sort of, you think you're being hilarious, like, what do you got down there? Whatever the joke is, I wonder if it was like,
you know the right guy to do that to? This podcaster right here.
He'll thank you for it.
I've been
we got a crew coming up.
I've been abused and probably it took a turn for the sexual and different. I've had my nuts. I've guys try to wrestle my nuts to the ground.
Oh, by definition, you've been sexually assaulted by many people close to you.
Oh, the biggest battle I ever got into, I was naked. And
so far, so good. Checks out.
My buddy Chris and Ray, who were the two strongest dudes I've ever met, were hell-bent on dragging me naked out to the street because my house was across the street from the school, and it was 3 o'clock, and the entire school would just pour out. And their plan was to have me nude as the school poured out into the street.
Good, clean fun.
I never got into a greater... I summoned the strength of 1,000 moms whose sons were trapped under a minivan. Like, these guys were the strongest dudes you knew, and there were both of them. And they didn't go half speed. Like, their plan was, let's get your naked ass down your driveway and into the street. I fought like a motherfucker naked, though.
That should be an American Ninja Warrior obstacle.
I've also seen guys like on the girls' softball field get completely stripped naked by the same group of guys and literally just left. Just left in the middle of the school day. Like, the stuff, I've done
The first time I ever met Hulk Hogan, he came out of the shower naked as the day he was born.
Mm.
Lucky man.
My first day in WWE, I'm the world's first one-legged professional wrestler, signed a WWE contract when I was 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
My first day on the job, I go up to Hulk Hogan's dressing room. I'm looking around. I don't see Hulk Hogan. There's Roddy Piper. There's Vince. I meet everybody. It's a great moment, but there's no Hogan. All of a sudden, the shower head turns off. Hogan walks out of the shower, naked as the day he is born, walks up to me, extends his hand. Welcome to the team, brother. Nice
what
to meet you.
What happened to your leg, brother?
That's a guy with a good sized hog, because the towel goes on if you don't have the big hog.
Completely ruined my childhood right there, my first day on the job.
So we'll get to the bottom, or maybe we'll never get to the bottom of this story.
I'll tell you too. He does
need a leg. I got a third one to spare.
He does use the phrases "sexual assault survivor" and "toxic masculinity." So
okay, look, I'm not. I like.
Me too.
Terry,
I'm just saying,
and I'm not trying to whatever. I'm just saying, when I was confused about this upon initially hearing about it 2 years ago, and I was trying to sort out this circumstance in my head, I went to, he had been assaulted sexually at some point in the past as a young person.
Some kind of abuse.
That's what my form of connecting the dots were based on doing a million years of Loveline.
Yeah.
All right. So it appears that there's something there.
Possibly.
And I don't know what he's talking about or not, or what he's willing to talk about.
Well, police stormed a JetBlue plane at New York's JFK Airport Tuesday night, responding to what they believed to be a hijacking in progress. The LA-bound flight was taxiing to the runway when heavily armed police suddenly boarded the plane without warning. Terrified passengers were ordered to put up their hands.
Yeah, we saw Lynette left for New York this morning. We were sitting around last night watching, and they're like, breaking news, and it's like cops and sirens, and she's like, oh, that's in New York, that's where I'm going. I'm like, well, they got out of their system.
Yeah, doesn't strike twice. So what happened was, apparently the FAA says the cockpit experienced a radio glitch, which cut off the pilot's ability to communicate with the tower. Fearing that the communication may have been deliberately cut by hijackers, police immediately responded. The passengers were evacuated. The plane was inspected and cleared. They reboarded and took off. But here's some cell phone footage of what it sounded like and what it looked like, if you're here, when the police entered the plane.
We need a dimmer switch.
Just keep your hands up, please.
Oh, God.
Everybody's hands are up. Police coming down the aisle.
Thank you.
They're wearing Devo helmets.
Slow down.
Keep your hands up. Thank you.
Pull.
Sir,
slow
up.
Down.
Sir, can I see your hands, please? Thank you.
That'd be a little freaky if you're on that plane.
Yeah. Yeah, we're watches. I mean, from the outside, it was 1,000 sirens and people storming up the stairs, and it was... Can we get a dimmer switch? Not everything's like either 0 or 10. Like, it's just once it gets flipped, it's just on. It's either no cops or 1,000 cops. It's like, somebody work this one out. Like, let's just say this. Could the pilot, like, do a hand signal where it's like, no, don't.
Yeah, there should be a hand signal. You're right.
You do the move I do to the waitress where she's like, would you like a third cup of iced tea? That's all right, sweetie. I got we're good. We're packing it in. I got to piss. Just that move. Like, don't worry about it.
Should be a little nuanced there, you would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst invention ever. The pitcher that every restaurant uses for ice water and iced tea, because it has a spout and they have to dump it from the side.
Yeah, you never
every
get
time.
Ice.
Like, I would love to go to whoever Acme pitcher and go, you guys have failed miserably. Miserably. Because in one sense, you failed right to the top. Everyone is using your pitcher.
You saturated the market.
It's such a horrible design that you literally saturated the market. Like, people have to pour it sideways.
Yep. If you want ice, you
I
do.
Get it. There's like ice and it gets caught up, must get caught in this thing or the neck, the bottleneck or something.
Yeah, you don't, always you don't get any ice. If it's poured down the spout, you don't get any ice. It has to go over that side there.
Someone's got to reinvent that. It drives me nuts. All right, what else we got?
Well, you might hear Donald Glover's voice in your next workplace sexual harassment training video.
Ooh.
Rashida Jones has directed a new animated public service announcement for the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, and it's narrated by Childish Gambino. The fund was launched to help victims secure legal representation and public relations help after facing sexual harassment at work.
I liked her last public service announcement, which was, you're black? I had no idea of Rashida Jones, and then found out she was Quincy Jones' daughter.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
As for why Donald Glover is voicing this video, Rashida Jones praised his cool, laid-back energy, which she says helps the PSA not come off as preachy. And here's a clip of the first few seconds.
What's better than Quincy Jones for a dad? You know what I mean? Like, you could go, well, let's say, my dad is Steven Spielberg.
Ooh.
He's still a nerd. You know what I mean? Like, he's a rich nerd. Okay. He's a powerful nerd, but I could kick his ass. You know what I mean? Quincy Jones is Quincy Jones and the coolest dude in the world, and all he does is bang 20-year-old blondes.
Yeah.
It's all he does and make great jazz and theme songs and whatever. Like, how cool, like, when you just, look, you could say, my dad's Michael Jordan, and people could go, yeah, I don't follow the NBA or, like, whatever that. But
basketball.
Quincy Jones, like, that's a lot of... That's a good guy to say. Yeah. That's my dad.
I think her mom was a model.
Hold on, the room's spinning.
That's what I'm saying. I think all the women he married were in that industry. So
he was like banging Peggy Lipton from the Mod Squad. Mm-hmm. Like, all he did was bang him and John Derrick and all those guys. They just had a type, and the type was not over 25 and piping hot blonde, and they would just keep. Like car leases, just every 2 years, just re-up.
Re-up.
Yeah, the Steve Jobs actually had, wherever he was in the Bay Area, they had a thing where you could just drive a car, you didn't have to register it, you didn't have to put plates on it for 6 months, and he would just lease cars 6 months at a time, never having to register and put the license plate on and do all that stuff, and that's what Quincy did with Blonde Vagina.
That's good.
Every 6 months.
Would you like to see some of this?
Out.
Oh, mm-hmm. and according to Gary, Peggy Lipton is Rashida Jones' mom.
Well, there you go.
So it all gets tied up in a nice little bow.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to see a little bit of this PSA?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Has the current wave of sexual allegations left you scared, confused, maybe even a little angry? Is the culture shifting under your feet so fast you can't make sense of it? Or do you simply not know how to behave at work anymore? Fear not. Here are frequently asked questions about sexual harassment. Number 1. Is it okay to greet your coworker with a deep full body hug or mouth kiss? No. This is what we call unwelcome touching.
Bad news, Kate.
But you're an affectionate and friendly person. The touching's not sexual. It's just kind of your personal brand at work. Still, it's a no. Number 2. Is it okay to think a coworker looks sexy in their pants? Sure. Think away. But is it okay to tell that person that you think they look sexy? No.
If you're dealing with someone that's not a tight douche, it's fun. Hold on. You can't work rules out for this.
I'm 2 for 2 in the sexual assault department.
Yeah.
Harassment department.
It's a know it when you feel it or see it. There, you cannot legislate this. You can't say this and you can't say that. You have to know who you work with. You have to know who it is. It's like asking humans not to be humans. You don't want to live in that fucking world where there's like rules. Because the thing about rules is it's like the IRS. You can get around them. And also, you could be busted by them when they mean nothing as well.
It's all intent in the sexual whatever.
And think of like where the industry we're in. I thought of every radio job I ever had, and we wouldn't have lasted 2 hours. We wouldn't have lasted the whole day if that was the problem, if that was the rule.
The thing is you kind of need to know how to be a human being, and then everything falls into place. Mm-hmm. You don't litter. You tend to recycle. You don't sexually harass. God, I saw this. Gina, did you send me that chick that said, like, it was just a smile at work today or something like that?
No, Gina replied to, I'm sorry, I led you on by smiling at you once.
Such a blowhardy. Yeah. God, it's like, everyone thinks I'm hot at work. Like, it was a two-page advertisement of how hot she was. It was nonsense.
Oh, that was the reduction. That's a parody account, but yeah.
It's a parody?
It's like a female version of The Onion.
Oh, good. Because I was like, this sounds like nonsense.
That's why we took it.
But it sounded blowhardy enough to be real.
You can't
tell
nowadays. Yeah. You can't tell
nowadays. I was reading it, but it sounds like what someone would say.
Yeah.
Sort of confused, scary. Like that Diet Coke commercial.
Hence the comedy.
I read it, and I was like, oh, please, don't be a blowhard. Yeah. You smile at someone, everyone smiles at everyone. But she was talking about it, but it's a weird parody to do because... Well, or maybe it's so on point that it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I tend to enjoy that account. I think it's pretty.
That was
funny,
That was a smart article. So I was reading it. I was like, people just smile at people, or people say hi, or whatever
it is. Too smart for its own good.
Yeah,
fooled me. I didn't even know what that was. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then I'll tell you more about this. Castrol Edge tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, and more efficient. Pressure is much higher on these smaller cars, smaller engines, working harder, strapping on the turbochargers and the superchargers, and that's why you need the Castrol Edge Titanium Strong, and they got a game, Titanium Gamer. We take that out. It's a cool video, actually. And you can check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page, and check out your Castrol Edge. Delivers under the most demanding circumstances. All right, let's see, Gina. So what was that? So here's a question. The theme for the Mod Squad may have been done by Quincy Jones. They got a kick-ass theme.
That would make sense.
And if so, did he do the theme for Mod Squad first and then hook up with Peggy Lipton of Mod Squad? Or how did that happen? And what's wrong with Link? Because that's a brother who was on Mod Squad, who was a big cup of hot chocolate. So then I got to figure that out. Can we hear the song? Can we find that Mod Squad song?
I just want to make sure I have the right version because there's a lot of,
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so Rashida Jones, sexual harassment.
Donald Glover,
bad.
That's the takeaway.
Just be a decent human being and everything else falls in line. That's pretty much... Fathers raise your kids. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Yeah,
controversial,
anyway.
Zach.
Yeah, no, here I am,
Yes. It's dumb. Anyway.
You got the song, Brian?
I know.
All right. Well, I'll spare you, save you some time here. Researchers at the University of Miami believe they have... Oh, Dawson has it?
Dawson.
All right.
Big horns. Your dad would get a boner listening to this. Oh, it's kicking. Oh, man.
Ooh, that's heat.
That's killer. That's good. Quincy Jones?
Earl Hagen.
Oh.
He did that in I Spy, and a number of others, of course.
He was fucking Peggy Lipton? Jesus.
Yeah, I think Quincy might have rolled off some of those highs in that. It's a little, hurt my ears a little bit.
Oh. Didn't like it. Well, it didn't have hiccuba in it, so.
That's Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got some braggots and some bros and some bruises. That's it, Quincy Jones. Cosby.
Classic.
Theme. You ever hear that one, Zach?
I have, yeah.
Hiccup-blah.
It's a work of art.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really wonderful. Are we going to hear that? All right, here we go.
You know, I do kind of want to say to Rashida Jones, like, you're hot, you know, solid.
Sure.
My sister's not an unattractive woman. Now, let me show you a picture of her parents. Yeah. You want some tissue? This is sad. Now, let me see a picture of your parents in their prime. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
With that in mind, you should be a little bit hotter. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if that's sexual harassment.
It's solid math.
You don't work with her, so no.
My sister in her prime was a good 8, you know? And her parents were a disaster, physically, like on both sides.
Right.
And Rashida Jones, Peggy Lipton when she was 27.
No excuses.
Quincy Jones, come on now.
Yeah. It's a good point.
I'm just saying.
Let's get it together.
She should be better than just good looking.
You're good looking. You're fine.
Yeah.
But you should be piping hot.
It's getting worse.
And you're just hot.
You should make that video as a response
I
to
should
her
do
PSA.
That.
That would be great.
Stick figures.
Get Glover in here. Hey, there's more VO work for it. You know, those talking greeting cards? It's kind of like
it's
that.
It's kind of like that. You're addressing one person.
Rashida's birthday's coming up. No, it's like someone needs to say something, obviously. And you're still hot.
Needs.
Right.
You have to be hot. Look at these two. Look at the
somebody
egg and the sperm.
Arithmetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, researchers at the University of Miami believe they've figured out the exact amount of exercise you need to keep your brain functioning at a high level.
Pray it's none. Mm.
Close.
Is it a negative amount?
In order to keep your brain in tip-top shape, a new study published by the Journal of the Journal of Neurology says you've got to get about 52 hours every 6 months. That's about 2 hours a week. Mm. Just that little bit of exercise ends up boosting your thinking and problem-solving abilities. Of course, scientists recommend exercising more than that in general, but as far as brain health is concerned, 2 hours a week is what you're supposed to shoot
for.
How
do you explain Stephen Hawking?
Oh, it's a good point.
You know,
broken clock, Brian!
Do we have the shit on the point music ready?
Do you know, what helps with problem-solving? Solving fucking problems. If you work in a little bit in a physical world, you'll physically solve problems all the time. I just put a bunch of drains in my deck and stuff, and I had to figure out a bunch of stuff. And you walk into the hardware store, and you have your brain and your wallet, and then the rest is just a whole bunch of hole saws and tools and bits and things. And you go, what is going to be the best way for me to mount a drain flush on this deck and get water to hit it, and where is it going, and how? It's one big problem, but your brain gets kind of coached up,
right?
And
sharp.
You can do crossword puzzles and stuff, which is completely fine, but I do believe there's a sort of mechanical element. And look, maybe we're talking about building a castle out of Legos, but there's a part where you should be using your brain a little bit to solve some mechanical tactile problems on a weekly basis. And this is where I believe the farm it all out, get someone else to do it, don't get your hands dirty, doesn't serve you well in a general problem-solving department. And it's good to do a sort of emotional version and a intellectual version of it, but get your hands a little dirty every once in a while. It's good. It's good for your brain.
That just makes good common sense. I mean, I'm sure that exercise or physical activity helps in some way, but by this logic, no one in a wheelchair would ever accomplish anything. Well, the guy who wrote The Diving Bell and the Butterfly did it by blinking his goddamn eye.
I was about to cite that. I'm glad you jumped in.
It's a great book. It's a great book.
Yep.
Well, Hugo Boss has started making vegan sneakers out of pineapple leaves. The fashion company recently launched a shoe product.
Rose to prominence in pre-Nazi Germany.
That is true.
That's where it came from.
Pinatex, a natural-based material made of pineapple leaf fibers.
It is weird when you see the German uniforms and you're like, Hugo Boss designed those. And you're like, yeah, they look a lot better than the Japanese guys. Like, the Japanese guys were either wearing a diaper or just some olive drab, like a long sleeve, nothing. Like, Hugo Boss is using reds and pins.
Form fitted.
Yeah. Like, tucked Epilettes. In. Like, good looking.
Good
when I first started working for them in New York, I thought, do I want to work for them?
Wow.
And I looked around and everyone was Jewish and gay, and Hitler wouldn't be happy with who's working at Hugo Boss these days.
What year was Hugo Boss born in?
The actual Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
The actual Hugo Boss. Yeah. Where was he born and what year? I'd be curious to know. Yeah.
While you look that up, I'll tell you these sneakers come in four colors. They have recycled soles. They're organic cotton laces, certified completely vegan. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Poor guy died at the end of the war in 1948. He was born in 1885.
Where?
In, I don't know how to pronounce it, somewhere in Germany.
Pre-Nazi Germany? Not to too shabby.
By the definition. That's right.
Obviously. Hugo, 1885. So I say about like, you know, you go to like pre-Nazi Germany, like 1920s, 35s, yeah. Banging some models, mm-hmm. Hoisting a big stein with a big pewter lid on it. Not too shabby.
Can you come to Mr. Hitler's office? We have a job for you.
The Kingdom of Württemberg.
Again.
That's good.
Pre-Nazi Germany. A swinging time.
We have some young up-and-comer who would like to talk to you about some design.
I always want to coach people up on that, and I'll see you in hell, because that suggests you've arrived in hell before they did, or shortly after that. So you go, when you say this is turning into pre-Nazi Germany, you go, not pre-pre, but like pre, like, you know.
11th hour.
Hitler's got pubes, and he's making plans. And
didn't get into art school.
I'll see you in hell. Through a porthole in an air-conditioned room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From heaven.
That defines it. Yeah, that sharpens
the
point.
Oh, no, I don't want to be dead.
No.
I'll just, it'll be like an aquarium.
Okay.
Like a terrarium. I'll be in my living room.
A portal to hell.
And you can't see back at me in case I beat off.
Yeah. Two-sided
or
mirror.
Whatever. I don't know why I brought that up.
No.
All right. It's lengthy, but it's clear.
Sure.
Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You ever punch a woman? They don't take it well. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
It's also a little weird, and I bet Eddie Murphy wouldn't complain if you pulled that out of the rotation on the comedy station on Sirius XM. You know
best.
What I mean? Like, maybe we should go back and comb through some of this stuff.
That was the most cutting-edge material.
Well, if you listen to Dire Straits, that little faggot is a millionaire. They got rid
of
that.
That is not the version you hear on the radio.
So maybe we cut out. It's a 90-minute stand-up routine. Cut out the 4 minutes where he's beating on his old lady. Or don't run the four minutes.
Don't highlight it.
On the comedy station. Because they only take like 3 or 4 minutes out of the 90-minute act. Maybe don't rotate that one. Do the one where he's making fun of Bill Cosby. Hiccup. You got that? Oh, I hear that.
Look at him there.
Gonna get some roofies and some roads and a razor mind.
Get that tree spring behind them. And then get some
Waylon. Dropping some soda. Hit the blue. Take a nap. Meals out of town. Hit the blue. Braggots and roses and razor mind.
And lay them on the ground.
Oh.
And jump on them.
Oh.
And then wipe them out and get ready to say,
wow.
He was hiding in plain sight.
Lay them on the ground, jump on them, and wipe your mouth? Hold on a second.
That's word for word.
Hold the phone.
That's word for word.
Whoa. Wasn't he accused of performing like oral or digital, whatever? Like, he wasn't.
Yeah, yes.
He wasn't having sex with these incapacitated women.
You're
he
right.
was digitally mm-hmm. violating them. And I don't know about the oral part.
Somebody had to wipe their
throw
mouth.
Throw them on the ground and jump on them and wipe your mouth. Hiccup!
My God.
Jesus Christ.
Still a funky jam.
It is.
Can't help but nod your head when you hear it. That's it.
Yeah. Shake your shoulders on it.
Well, there's Quincy Jones. Let me tell you about Geico, everybody. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about, it'd save hundreds of dollars your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere, pick anything up, or do anything. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Go get yourself something nice at the store. Enjoy a nice steak meal. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You got the words to that song there?
I think those are approximations.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure that those are the exact words.
Go get some, you got to get a half a pound of small ribs.
Gina,
and a
please.
Cup of raisins. And to throw them on the ground and roll them up, and then you got to get some radish, eat them up all around your face. Hiccuba.
I don't have time to get all these drops.
I know a couple of Jews slaved away all night writing lyrics to the song, like Quincy put the musical together, and like two old Jews, like sure. just went, he's a school teacher. His name is Kincaid. Oh, you got it made, Kincaid. He teaches basketball. What's he? P.E. Physical ed. Physical ed. Not physical ted. And they hand it to him, and then Quincy like started jamming. He was like, yeah, I got this. Going to get some braggots and some broads, and the two Jews have been like slaving away all night.
No.
Like, no, just can we get one pass with the stuff that rhymes with Mr. Kincaid? No, braggots and broads. He played a phys ed teacher named Kincaid, I'm almost sure. And this was the Bill Cosby show after I Spy, I think, and before the 80s mm-hmm. one. I think he taught at a school. I think he taught P.E. I think his name was Kincaid. All right, you can look that up. Don't tell me if I'm not right. Zach Gowan, everybody. High-risk maneuvers, how I turn my handicaps into opportunities. Available now on Amazon. And go ahead and bookmark us and click through our site. It's win-win. You can check out the website, ZachGowan.com, for speaking engagements and more. And Twitter and Facebook and all that, Zach?
Call it Zach Gowan.
There you go. So, and us, live shows, go to amcroll.com and go get some merch at the new website. Get a picture of Phil on a hoodie or beach towel. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Zach Gowan, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. Hey, man, I'm going to give Dawson the best blowjob ever. What do you know?
Follow the Adam Kroll Show on Twitter at Adam Kroll Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all live podcasts, Mangria events, books, movies, more. Visit adamcarolla.com.